What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's time for Cinco.
I thought I got rid of this. I really thought I deleted this AI song. All right, before we get to the Cinco, because he played one of these dopey AI songs, do you know Evan created an AI song for the Rico now?
Did he really?
Yeah.
I have not heard this. Does it play on the Rico?
Sure does. The opening theme song used to be, you know, Meet the Mets, I think, or whatever the heck it was. It's the Rico Bronya podcast. Now I think the open is this AI. Now, Evan, he'll claim that a listener sent him the song, but we all know that he's sitting there, you know, right, patting his head, and he made an AI song for the Rico. It's catchy, but I mean, it tells you that he's getting that itch again, though.
Wait, it's Tuesday?
It is.
Tuesday. It's Drunk Rico tonight.
They're doing the Drunk Rico?
They're doing the Drunk Rico tonight.
So Hoff, who is at
Disney. With his kids.
With his all kids. And Evan, who's in the Carolinas with his kids. So two grown adults with their families on vacation
are going to get drunk and sit in a room in the houses that they're staying in.
Not together on Zoom and talk about Francisco Alvarez. Right. That's what they're going to do. I mean, and the Drunk Ricos are fun. They're a big hit. And I think they usually do this when Evan's on vacation because he feels more inclined to have a little libations, and
he doesn't have to worry about getting up and going to work the next day.
Exactly.
Just whatever.
This is the Rico Brogna podcast.
And now we have the Cinco, which is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. All right. The big topic of the day, started the show off by saying that I want Jackson Dart to be the Giants week one starting quarterback this year. So my Cinco that I put out here is the five potential spots where Jackson Dart can make his regular season debut for the Giants. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Number five is week one next year. Week one of 2026.
Right. I was getting ready to say, come on, Tommy, we already debated this.
Yeah, yeah. Meaning, you know, Giants have a good year. Russell Wilson has a nice season. Maybe they contend for a playoff spot. Maybe even make the playoffs. And you get to keep Jackson Dart on the sidelines. You move on from Russ. And Dart is ready to take over the reins next year in week one.
Keeps his redshirt year.
And I think that's the plan that... I think most Giant fans, because I've been surprised. I thought a lot more people would be on my side with this. I think a lot of Giant fans just want to see wins, competent football, and then when we get to Dart, hopefully the franchise is back stabilized and in good hands. And a year with Russell Wilson winning 7-8 games, maybe even make the playoffs, I got to win a little more than that, would be the ideal scenario.
Number four.
That would be week three of this year. Giants-Chiefs, first home game of the season. Team's 0-2, primetime game. I know but could you imagine, though, if you really want to test the Jackson Dart, team's 0-2, right, fans are restless. You got the Chiefs, first home game, Mahomes, Kelsey, Reed, primetime. I think it's a Sunday night game. That's quite the spot to thrust him into to see what he's got.
Yeah, and you're going up against one of the all-time current greats, actually maybe one of the all-time greats, period, and Pat Mahomes, who interestingly has a brother named Jackson.
He does have a brother named Jackson, which, you know, they're more, you know, he's kind of, probably wishes he didn't. Nah, he likes his brother, but, you know, as you know, brothers will be brothers. Be honest, Tiki could speak to this. Rondé Barber, the real life bad Tiki. You know what I mean? Like, Tiki's kind of like and Rondé's more of like the Esther. I think, is that a fair?
Rondé is the bizarro Tiki.
Bizarro Tiki. There you go.
Number three.
All right, so this one, I think, is probably the most likeliest. And this would be a week 15 off a bye home against the Commanders. The Giants play the last three or four home. The last four games, three of them are at home.
Right.
And this to me is, all right, you went through the Russell Wilson project. Maybe Jameis Winston gets a few games. The season is not where you wanted it to be as far as making the playoffs. So now we can see at the end of the year, sell some tickets, Jackson Dart. The fans are happy because it won't be like last year where they won't be flying planes over MetLife Stadium if Jackson Dart is starting. You know what I mean? Because he represents optimism.
He represents the future as well. Now, I think the the ideal for every NFL team is to play meaningful December football.
Oh, you sound like Jeff Wilpon there. Fred. Was it Freddie? That's other thing. Freddie.
Whatever. Yeah. But it's no matter what happens, it could be meaningful December football for the New York Giants. Because if Russ has them in a playoff hunt, it's meaningful. If Russ does not have us in a playoff hunt, then Jackson Dart is going to be playing. That's my favorite one. That should be number one. If the Giants don't make it, the meaningful December, meaning they're not competing for a playoff spot, meaningful December football is Jackson Dart starting four games after the bye week. So he's whatever. You play New England, whatever happens in that game, you have the bye week, he come back against the Commanders at home. Mm-hmm. It's Jackson Dart to dominate our old nemesis.
Yep, off the bye too. So Tiki wanted number three to be number one, but hear me out on number two.
Number two.
And I took a little creative liberty on this one. How about the wild card round this year?
What?
Russell Wilson leads the Giants to the playoffs. He gets injured trying to motivationally speak. He's talking to a bunch of squirrels. He's giving a motivational speech, and he gets hurt.
What are you, Aaron Boone? Oh, no. You're Carlos Mendoza-ing him?
How so?
Nolan McClain pitches five and a third of the season is right. You get to the postseason and you go to the bullpen. Hey, we need Jackson.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I'm not saying Russell Wilson's going to be on a boat party or something, but he could
you got to be unlimited.
He could slip and get hurt. I'm not wishing that on him, but could you imagine leads in the playoffs somehow he gets like hurt? You know, just doing whatever. And then here comes, obviously they go to, Jameis Winston. But just, that's why I said number two is more fun, creative liberties. Jackson Dart gets thrusted in.
Number three should still be number two now.
Oh, so number
let's see if number three can make it to number one.
Number one.
And you're going to hate number one because it's what I started the show with. Week one this year, that's when Jackson Dart should make his debut with the Giants in the regular season. Week one this year against the Commanders right out of the gate.
I hate you even though it's your birthday. Don't you know I won that argument? Listen to all the callers. They call in and they agree with me. Nobody agreed with you. Maybe one agreed with you.
It's been tough out there. Now, they put the clips out on social media. Social media is always tough, to say the least, especially for me. So the responses are not great. A lot of people just a lot of bad things, and it's funny too because they're obviously listeners. This is like a lot of P1 listeners. They know it's my birthday too. They can't give me a break on my birthday. No. They still gotta call me a jackass. Enough with this song. This my fat ass. Enough with the production, the bells and whistles, and with that song. Anyway, 888-808-1019 is a number to call. It is Evan and Tiki. Sean and Evan, as we alluded to, are on vacation. So you have Tiki, you have Tommy here, and we got Phil in Staten Island. What's up, Phil?
What up, Phil?
How you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Tiki, how you doing, buddy?
I'm
Happy
good.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
Thank you.
Okay, I got 2 points. Please let me finish them. Number one, I saw Jackson Dart play in November. Ole Miss was playing somebody. I called my son, I said, dude, this guy is good.
Right.
He was erratic, man, but he had something. You could see it.
Was that the game he got yelled at by Lane Kiffin?
I believe so. That's what it was. Right. I remember that. I said, and he reminds me of Baker Mayfield, this kid. Mm. I don't know if anybody else sees that.
Right.
Well, he reminds me of him a lot.
Maybe with the moxie.
Yeah.
Like the confidence, the swag.
He's got like a swag. He's got like a swagger, man.
But Baker has
The difference is, and appreciate your call, Phil, the difference is Baker felt like he would beat you up. Like if you pissed him off, he would beat you up.
Yeah.
I don't think Jackson Dart's beating anybody up. I think he's a different kind of dog. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Whereas Baker, it was a game 2 years ago. It was last year. Where it was third and whatever, and he ran instead of throwing it, and he trucked the corner, and he got up, and he was like, you need more size, little man.
Oh, yeah. No, he's always had a little bit of an edge.
He's got, like, that badassness to him.
Now, Baker has really, I mean, he had success in Cleveland, then he obviously was with the Rams, and he's found a home in Tampa.
He got screwed in Cleveland.
Screwed. Legitimately.
He was played hurt, and then they got rid of him because they thought he wasn't effective.
Right, a franchise that can't find a quarterback forever.
They have like six of them on their roster right now.
Right, you think the Giants have a lot of quarterbacks? Mm-hmm. They have four, too. They have Flacco, they have Pickett, they obviously have Shador, and they have Dylan Gabriel.
Right.
They drafted two quarterbacks this year.
Didn't they sign someone else, too?
Kenny Pickett?
No.
Oh, fifth one?
Josh, was it Johnson?
Well, maybe. He's always around. He's always on a team somewhere.
I think they actually brought in another quarterback. Doesn't matter, but they have a ton. They can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, I mean, it's likely going to be Shador at some point. I think we all know that. But, yeah, so Baker now in Tampa. So that you bring up Baker, the comparison to Jackson. I can see it personality-wise. Would you take that from Jackson Dart as far as his career? Like a Baker Mayfield? If he is Baker Mayfield, because Baker Mayfield's like a top 10 quarterback right now.
No, he is. I mean, and he's loved in Tampa.
Yeah.
I was talking to my brother about him. He said he is the perfect Buccaneer because he's kind of an underdog. He's got to be scrappy in order to succeed, but he's got the talent to be really good. And we saw that multiple times over the last couple of seasons. In fact, their offense is more dynamic with him than it was with Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl, so he's iconic down there in Tampa, but they feel like they can do more with Baker Mayfield. I think the latter half you would take. I don't think you want the struggles that Baker had injury-wise, and it felt like not sure. You never felt sure. I want to be sure about Jackson Dart for most of his career.
Right. I think Baker is everything now. Prime Baker is what a lot of people thought Johnny Manziel would be.
Right.
That swag. Like, Baker and Johnny were kind of the similar players in college. They had that similar personality, similar hype. And Johnny, obviously, it didn't work out for him. And
he didn't want to work as hard.
Yeah, and it seems like I've seen a couple of interviews with Johnny. It looks like he's got his, sort of his life back on track. He's doing really well. And Baker, it was more just the injury stuff, but he's found a home, and he's a legitimately top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Like,
agreed.
He put up sick numbers last year. He's getting the Bucs to the playoffs every year. So if you get that out of Jackson Dart, the Baker Mayfield in Tampa, and you have a legitimate shot every year, I mean,
you can ask for.
I know there's some. I'm gonna call him on the carpet next week, but this week I'm going to do it with you because you're out next week. Teague, do you remember back, it had to be at least a couple weeks ago. I won't even get back to the night he was drafted because that's Sean's allowed to have a take. We're all allowed to have takes before when a guy gets drafted, and it can change.
Right.
I warned Sean because Sean was like, I'm not going to get to watch a lot of the preseason. And I said, just do us all a favor. When you see Jackson Dart, don't make any hyperbolic statements.
Yes.
So can you promise us? He goes, Lugawa, he gets all serious. Lugawa, I'm going to be at a christening. I'm going to be in Lake George. I'm not going to see the games. I'm barely, I'll watch it on DVR. So I'm just going to take everything, cool, calm, and collected. And I was like, I don't believe you, but I'm going to hold you to it. Now, Evan is going to hold you to it too because he saves all the audio. He's got this now. We're trying to dig up the audio because he did not say this on WFAN. Obviously, he's on vacation. I didn't even hear about it. Somebody had to tip me off to it. But this son of a gun, didn't wait the second preseason game. Not only did he break his promise to me, to you, Tiki, to Evan, to our audience, he went so far. Like, people are getting mad at me for saying Jackson Dart should start in week one. When you hear what this guy had to say about Dart, it's outrageous. Now, Paulie, give me a thumbs up if you have it. If not, I'm going to take a call here, and we will get to that audio, because I don't want to speak for him, because Sean's very big on the, I didn't say it quite like that. So we'll get exactly what he said about Jackson Dart. All right, this is Sean on Sunday, right? He was, do you have where he did it on? Was it BetQL? Where did he do it on? BetMGM, my apologies. BetMGM, he did it on BetMGM. This is Sunday, the show he does on Sunday mornings. This is Sean Marash talking about Jackson Dart.
I cannot believe I am living in this world on August 17th as somebody who gets to talk about a certain team for a living that has sucked.
Yeah.
But the New York Giants have become a major national story.
That's true.
I can't believe it. Yep. I can't believe we're here.
Okay.
I almost don't believe it's real.
Yeah, you don't believe
it. I had to keep popping up stories and tweets and showing my wife, am I seeing this correctly? Are other people seeing what I'm seeing right now? It's not just me and la-la delusional world. This is a safe space. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Here's your hot take.
No.
The Giants are going to play in multiple Super Bowls with Jackson Dart as the quarterback.
This guy, this son of a bitch. I mean,
he doesn't stink.
Okay.
I don't know if he'll be the best quarterback in the league besides Patrick Mahomes.
But I know that he's better than Lamar, better than Josh
Allen.
And
I know that what I've seen through two preseason games is not about the stats. It's about the carrying himself, the arm angle stuff, all of that.
Arm angle.
He shouldn't start week one, but Pat, this Jackson Dart fever that is taking over the NFL preseason, it's real. And it's spectacular, bud.
Yeah, good Seinfeld reference. I appreciate that.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
Who told you to put the bomb on? Did I tell you to put the bomb on? Oh, the maestro told you to put the bomb on. Sean not only broke his promise, he now has Jackson Dart and the Giants in multiple Super Bowls, and the only quarterback at this point he will not put above him is Patrick Mahomes.
Right. That's already going in the Hall of Fame, Pat Mahomes.
Right. He's already better than Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. He... I knew he was going to do it. I knew it. But the reason why I said, and we're going to definitely bring this up to him next week when Evan's back, because you know Evan's chomping at the bit here. He heard that, and that's like music to Evan's ears, Sean saying something. Look, it's one of those takes, Teak, that, and it's brilliant on Sean's part because you can't really crush him for it till like years from now, in theory.
There's almost a decade you're going to have to wait in order to call Sean's miss or give him kudos for his hit on this.
Yeah, because even if things work out well early on, it's not like he's going to multiple Super Bowls. If things go out badly, you still have time.
Well, unless he's Pat Mahomes, so year two, three, four, five, whatever, and on, he's in the AFC Championship games, in this case would be NFC Championship games, and in and winning Super Bowls, then it's going to take some time. Most quarterbacks don't get to or win a Super Bowl. It's just, it's hard to do.
Very hard to do.
And the ones that do get there and win are kind of repeats.
Right. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have zero combined Super Bowl appearances.
Three MVPs between them.
Correct. And you're talking about two of the top three quarterbacks in the sport.
Right.
Now, we'll get it next week. I assume he's going to look. He's going to say, the NFC, Stafford is old. He's on his way out. You look at Philly. You know how he feels about Philly. Right. So he's going to see the path. The AFC's the tougher conference. By the way, I get all of that stuff. To me, I don't care about the take. We all stay outlandish stuff. I have no issue with him saying, he can say whatever he wants. He broke a promise.
Right.
And that's something that I'm aggravated with because I knew he would do something like this. I didn't think he'd go to this length, but he said, I won't get nuts. I'm barely going to be locked in. I won't be watching in real time. And after two preseason games, he's got him in multiple Super Bowls. And the only quarterback right now that's better than Jackson Dart is Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, Teak, my buddy's a big Browns fan, so he texted me. Snoop Hundley is the quarterback that they said.
That's right. That's Snoop. Right. Snoop. That's right. I knew it was one of those black quarterbacks.
Five
I can't remember
QB.
It was.
That was Tiki Barber that said that, not Tommy Lehrer. So, yeah, I can't. They got five quarterbacks?
Yeah, well, three of them are white, two of them are black.
We got a third string quarterback that ain't going to produce bleep. You know what I mean? That's what we're looking
okay,
at.
What about the fifth string guy?
Imagine being the fifth string quarterback sitting there like, hi, I'm the fifth string quarterback. Therefore, you know, basically if there's a nuclear war here and four people die, I am the starting quarterback.
Right.
Like, you have no chance of seeing, I can't make that pitch, Petey. Well, you're never going to be up by no 40 points, so you're not going to have to worry about the pitch. I mean, fifth quarterback. And I think that has to do with the fact that some of them are hurt. I think Pickett is hurt or whatever.
Pickett is hurt. And wasn't Joe Flacco not playing? Or something like that.
Yeah, well, he's playing. Like, he wasn't playing in the preseason,
that's what I mean.
I think. Yeah,
so they wanted an extra
arm. And
Shador
got hurt, too, I think.
And Shador had an oblique thing. So they just needed to, as crazy as it sounds, you come in camp with four. You need an extra? Snoop.
Yep. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Sonny and Malvern. What's up?
Sonny.
Hey, guys.
What's up, dude?
How you doing?
What's up?
All right, how you been?
What's going on?
All's good.
Good. Listen, big Giant fan, as you know, T.
Yes, of course.
Listen, I want to keep it real. Do I love Jackson Dart? Of course I do. But let's keep it real. I know Giants and myself included have been starving for a quarterback since Eli left. And that's why you hear the crazy talk right now. Does he have all the tools? Sure, he does. He looks like, you know, he has the arm strength. He's a mobile quarterback. I want to see him go up in a real game. Okay, read the defense, you know, change the protection, kill the play. And I think he can do that because he's cool. He's kind of reminds me of a little Joe Burrow a little bit, where he's just so cool. You know, it's like his heartbeat slows down. It's nothing's too fast for him as of yet, and it's through two preseason games. Russell Wilson doesn't stand a chance. I'm sorry, this guy has been called. I'm talking about Dart now. It's, you know, the golden boy, the chosen one. You know, obviously the talk is a little bit crazy, but the fans are going to be screaming for him, Tiki, and you know that.
Right.
You know every press conference,
only
every game.
Only if Russ is not good.
They have, sorry?
But only, Sonny, if Russ is not good. If Russ is good.
I disagree.
If Russ looks like he did, and he only played in a couple of series against the Jets, but if he looks like that, right, he's getting rid of the ball on time. He's leading the offense. He's getting into the right plays, doing all the things that you were just saying Jackson Dart should do, killing plays, getting into the right ones, making deep on a huge parabola throws to these wide receivers, scoring points. They scored 30 points, right? Do you not think that Giant fans are just going to be happy? They'll be fine.
I don't think so. Let Jackson sit. I don't think so, Teague. I'll tell you why. Even if Russell Wilson's playing well and the Giants are losing, the Giant fans are going to say, Russell Wilson's not our future. Jackson Dart is. We want to see him play. And I predict the fifth game of the season, he will be in there.
Wow,
that's my prediction.
Now, Sonny, did you also, were you implicating there that the beat reporters would ask Dable about Dart after the games or during the week in practice?
He'll be definitely after each game. Of course he's going to be asking about Dart. Right.
I agree with that, Sonny, because I think Dart's the story.
Yeah, and they're already doing that. They do it after every practice, after every preseason game. You have to.
That's where the excitement is.
He's a rookie, and he's the story.
That's where the sizzle is. That's the story. I mean, Russell Wilson, look, he could surprise everybody. Mm-hmm. And look, if we're sitting here in December and the Giants are, you know, battling for a playoff spot and the defense is great and Russ is playing good, you're not going to hear much about Jackson Dart.
No.
But if it's kind of like they're losing and Russ is playing, whatever, they're going to ask questions. I mean, that's just the way it is, because I think a lot of the fans, I might be one of the few that want to see Dart play in week one, but there will be more cries for it if the season feels like it's going down the tube, because at that point, everyone will be, all right, I just want to see this kid. I want to see what we got here. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, I think, you know, part of the reason Russ is interesting is that he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He's only had a couple of seasons out of his 13 where he's had double-digit interceptions. There's five of them, actually. So he doesn't put the ball in harm's way a lot. Mm-hmm. But he also has only thrown for over 4,000 yards twice? No, four times he's done it. But not really recently. And he's had health issues. He didn't play. They went in Denver. It was because they just benched him those last couple of games. He missed early time last year with Pittsburgh. And so it's felt like, man, he's just a declining player. So it's hard not to think of him from what you've seen these last couple of years. A guy who's older, hard to stay healthy, and a declining, you know, star. So if they're not winning, I agree with Sonny then. There's going to be a loud call. Even if Russ looks good and they're not winning, it's going to be a loud call for Jackson.
Now, what was that word you used for throws? It was
the parabola. Yeah, it's like the arc.
Is that the wrong syllable? What was that?
No, it's a parabola. It's like a math thing. It's the big horseshoe and the upside down horseshoe.
It's like Steph Curry. Like, why is he so successful? Because he shoots at like a 5 or 6% higher arc.
So he uses
imagine like a rainbow, Tommy.
Yes. Sure. Yes.
A rainbow. Right. That's what
an inferior parabola. And the higher the arc, the wider the basket is. Because it's less oval, it becomes more circle.
I gotcha.
That's why he's so good at it.
By the way, is your internet working over there?
Yes.
All right, I got a rabbit. Are you familiar with the singer Madison Beer?
Madison Beer?
Yeah, look her up. So there's room, and look her up. That's a rabbit hole. Some rabbit holes you never get out of, and this is one of them.
It just popped up. By the way, sorry to leave you on this note, SNY. Thank you for joining us.
You can look her up too, SNY.
SNY. My gift to you. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. As soon as I wrote Madison, I swear, I could have been talking about Madison, New Jersey. I could have talked
Madison
about
Madison Avenue.
Madison Avenue in New York City. I could have been talking about Madison Hedgecock, because I am a former New York Giant.
That's right.
I typed in Madison. I didn't even get to the second letter.
Uh-huh.
Beer popped up. Madison Beer.
She's a singer.
American singer.
She's local. I think she's from Jericho.
Songwriter. Uh-huh. And she is not bad to look at.
So there are rumors that she's dating Justin Herbert. Mm. Now, I bring that up because Justin Herbert, good-looking dude. I think he cut his hair, but he had the flow going for a while. Dart's got the flow going. Big city, obviously, L.A. You're the starting quarterback for the Chargers or Rams. It's not going to take a lot to get a date on a Saturday night. I'm pretty sure Dart is single now, recently single. You know, the Post and all these other outlets are just chomping at the bit for the Jackson Dart girlfriend. I mean, that's going to be the most popular.
Are you saying it's Madison Beer?
No, I'm saying Madison Beer, apparently, reportedly, or whatever you want to call it, there are rumors that she's dating Justin Herbert.
Oh, Justin Herbert.
So I bring that up because
you're trying to figure out who's going to be.
Yeah. Now, does Dart go the celebrity route?
Like
Josh Allen obviously dated Haley Steinfeld. They're married now.
He's also Mormon,
so he's gonna have multiple girlfriends.
No.
He's all right. He should be starting every game for the rest of his career. If this guy's got six girlfriends, put him in the Hall of Fame already. That's all I gotta say. That's my quarterback. That's my QB1. Well, what do you mean he had a girlfriend?
I know, but it doesn't mean he's gonna be like, I don't know, pimping it.
No, I don't know about pimping it, but it is New York City. There are a lot of famous people around here. So does he go more the famous? Now, I'm assuming, I'm speculating. I think he's single. If he's not, I apologize. But is he going to go more the famous route? Or is he going to go more of the, you know, the local Jersey Shore gal. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Tiki in the Jersey Hall of Fame. Jersey girls, they should be in the Hall of Fame, too, if you want my opinion. I mean, the hoop earrings.
They will be eventually. They
eventually should be in there. Get Snooki on that.
Well, he was in a relationship with Lola Sexton.
Yeah, well.
But.
I mean, what a last name. That's as
but
as
they have since broken up.
Yes.
When she publicly accused him of cheating on her.
Oh, boy. All right.
This is just according to the internet.
There's always
no
one
idea.
Story, another story.
Exactly.
In the truth, you know what I mean on that one?
That's just her side of it.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, did he have a girlfriend last night with, or the date with him? I don't think so, but maybe he did. I wasn't really paying that much of attention.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, and that's bringing a girl to, it's like bringing a girl to a wedding. Like if you bring a girl that you're seeing to a wedding, that's like a big commitment. So he could be like, you know, kicking it with some girl right now. And he's like, I got this huge event. It's at MetLife Stadium. Yeah. Russell Wilson's there.
Hey,
there's going to be press.
Hang out? You want to come hang out? Yeah, it'll be fun.
If he brought a girl there, then it's in the post. It's like, you know, they're gonna write about that. And they're going to be, you know, looking at her Instagram. So, I mean, like, I don't think that's what's going on. But if he's got any situation, if he's got something more low key, he's not going to bring her to her event is my point. So
right.
I'm just curious if he's going to go more of the celebrity route. Because there's a lot of celebrities in New York City. Hey, you're a good-looking kid. You're the Giants quarterback. Or do you go more low-key? Because like you said, he's more Mormon. Because like Zach Wilson went more low-key, who just recently got married, by the way.
Yes, even though he was kind of tabloidy.
Yeah.
With all the speculation.
No doubt. Because
even though I don't think that was real, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, you think it was just more...
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. With the whole...
The mom's
Well,
friend.
A couple... If I can speculate. I think our brains... went to Steve Stifler's mom, and we went to more of our fantasies.
But I think the reality
is that she was young.
She was young.
Correct.
She just happened to be in his
Bingo.
Mom's spin class.
Exactly. I think everybody took that as it's an older woman because we all have that
yes.
fantasy. I mean, this goes back to Mrs. Robinson. I mean,
right.
this goes, and like I said, Stifler's mom.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson?
Exactly. And, you know, and so I think we all, as, you know, red-blooded males, you know, sort of fantasize about that. So when we heard it was Zach Wilson's mom's friend, I think we went to, oh, then they must be the same age. And I think it was just a younger girl.
Right.
And then it's just like, ah, whatever.
Wilson,
you know what I mean?
Is the one that got mono, right?
No, that was Sam Darnold. The kissing
yes.
disease.
Oh.
Kissy, kissy, woo-woo disease, as I call it. Little pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo.
These Jets quarterbacks, ever since Joe Namath, boy, they like to get out there,
well,
man.
Look, you are, again, you are in New York City. So I'm just wondering, like, the obviously, like, Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift. I mean, you're talking about dating the most famous person on the planet, on any planet right now. That, to me, is, like, the height of heights. But let's just say, like, could you imagine if Jackson Dart in this town was dating Taylor Swift? That'd be, like, the biggest story.
Oh, of course it would be.
Yeah, nobody would care if you threw a touchdown pass.
But it would be... It would probably take over what they do for a living.
And that's probably why he shouldn't go the celebrity route.
I agree.
Because it becomes, if he's
at
just dating a hottie, who cares?
At least,
you know,
not
I mean?
Early in his career.
Right. If he starts dating blah, 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 then it's like, that's going to be more of what we're talking about. And then it's like, well, his focus is not on football.
Right.
And blah, blah, blah. All right. So we'll keep it close. I'll keep several eyes on that as we move on here throughout the season.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right, the Yankee lineup is out, and we have Trent Grisham leading off. Even though when I picked Goldschmidt for the leader, someone should have picked Grisham, Teague. I mean, that was, nobody picked Grisham. He's going to end up probably leading off more than any other Yankee. That was the one to pick. I mean, we have a few.
We just thought he was the fourth outfielder.
I know. He ended up being their leadoff hitter all season long. So Grisham leading off in center, Aaron Judge, the king, DHing. Cody Bellinger hitting third in left field. And the big one here, Giancarlo Stanton batting cleanup in right field. So no longer sore. That was sort of the thing we were waiting for. When will Stanton get back into the starting lineup in the outfield? Stanton back in the lineup today in right field, batting fourth. Rest of the lineup, Rice at catcher, Goldie at first, Jazz at second, Volpe shortstop, Caballero at third, and Carlos Rodon pitching first game against Tampa. But, Teague, the big story, Stanton back in the lineup, back in right field.
Yeah, that's a big deal, too, because we were speculating, and really this came from Aaron Boone, saying something innocuous and throw-offish. But when you're talking about Giancarlo Stanton, and you say something as simple as, yeah, we don't think it's going to need an IL stint.
Right.
You're like, well, hold on. What are you even talking about? I thought he was just sore. He doesn't need an IL stint for general soreness. It made you speculate that maybe there was something else going on, whether it was a back injury or, I don't know, soft tissue, muscle, something like that. But thankfully, it's nothing because he is playing in right field. Ryan McMahon, not in the lineup, obviously available off the bench. But Caballero, who we talked about
yesterday.
Obviously, because today is Tuesday, about how valuable and versatile he can be because he played shortstop yesterday for Volpe, who came in as a pinch runner and then took over at shortstop, and Caballero goes to the outfield. He can play multiple positions, and you need that kind of guy.
Yeah, the versatility, the speed, and look, the Yankees, they sweep the Cardinals. Now they have a little bit of a soft schedule here. Now they got two games with Tampa, and then the big one, the four-game set, and we'll talk a lot about it when we get there, against the Red Sox. But if you look at the overall schedule for the rest of the year, there are a lot of cupcake teams. Now I know it's baseball, and bad teams beat good teams all the time, right, and they win series all the time, bad teams over good teams. But the schedule will soften up here for the Yankees, and now they are starting to creep up. They have created separation between themselves and Cleveland, and they are right on the heels against with Boston. If they take care of business here with Tampa and then really put a lick in on Boston, all of a sudden the Red Sox will be looking back up at the Yankees. Now, the division is going to be tough because Toronto has the tiebreaker. They've played good baseball, so likely not winning the division, but the Yankees have an opportunity to change their standings and where they're at in the wild card spot, and we'll see about, you know, King Judge when he gets back into the outfield. But good sign, Stanton back in the outfield tonight against Tampa. Carlos Rodon on the mound. We will break that down tomorrow, of course. Mets in Washington. So no baseball last night, but we will get to baseball tonight and obviously talk about it tomorrow here on The Fan. The big topic today, of course, Jackson Dart, I believe, should be the Giants starter in week one. Let's go to Pete in Babylon. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Pete.
Hello, gentlemen. You guys are the best, I got to be honest. Pete, I love you to death, and Tommy, you did a great job filling in today, guys. Your show hasn't missed a beat.
Thank you, man.
Let me tell you something about Jackson Dart. We all know you guys went over the stats, the experience he had in college, all of this, everything that you're saying is right on the nose. All you're doing by not starting him this year is wasting a season. We know that next year Jackson Dart will be starting. Everyone knows that week one of next year, Jackson Dart's our starter.
Right.
So if we play him this year and he wins six games and he goes into next season with a full season under his belt, what are we doing? We're not winning a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. That's not going to happen. We all know that's not going to happen. So getting the experience on the bench watching Russell Wilson or having Wilson there with him while he's playing, he wins six, seven, maybe eight games. Now he starts next season with a full season under his belt, and the future of the Giants begins now. Why waste the season with him on the bench and now let him go out and get a season under his belt for next year?
Well, I think it's only feels, and thank you, Pete, I think it feels like a wasted season if you're not evaluating him. So when you draft a quarterback, and now because of the new CBA and the four-year contracts that first-rounders get with the option for a fifth-year option on that player, which is, if you make Pro Bowls, it's basically the franchise tag. If you don't find out about him before you have to do that fifth-year option thing, it becomes wasted. But if you're the Giants, and from all indication from the first, whatever, 3.5 weeks of training camp, you kind of can evaluate where he's going, like who he's going to be as a player. And so that fifth-year option doesn't feel as urgent. Now let's go back, as we talked about this situation earlier in Indy with Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson's going into his third year now. He was hurt immediately. I mean, I think he played like 5 or 6 games in year one, but he missed most of season one. He was banged up a little bit in season two. He didn't light the world on fire, which is why they brought in competition. And now, in his third season, Daniel Jones beats him out in training camp. Don't you know?
Yeah.
You're not picking up his fifth year option. And so, like, I know we get we get this urgency to find out. Like, we have to know. Most people pin it on the fifth-year option. But I think if you know, you kind of know. And if you don't know, then you also know. And I think with Anthony Richardson, there were question marks from year one to year two. Certainly now in year three, you kind of know he's not your future. Jackson Dart feels like he might be the future even without us seeing him play in a real game.
Let's go to Mark in Syosset. What's up, Mark?
Good afternoon, Tommy. Good afternoon, Pete.
What up?
Couple things. First, in terms of Jackson Dart, I think not playing him now is the smartest thing for the Giants to do. And the reason for that is they always talk about ruining Daniel Jones. Last thing you want to do is put Jackson Dart in and have him fail miserably, then replace him with Russell Wilson. A lot easier to replace Russell Wilson with Jackson Dart if he fails.
I agree.
And from my perspective, the longer that Russell Wilson is playing, the better the Giants are playing as the season progresses. And I think it's a benefit for him to sit. If it's five games, if it's eight games, whatever it's going to be, he will learn on the sidelines. My second point has nothing to do with the Giants. It has to do with Mr. I never saw my cousin Vinny until the other day.
Yeah.
What are the odds that he actually saw The Graduate? I heard you talking about that as well. I doubt it. He won't even know what it is.
No chance.
No shot,
not
Mark.
A chance.
He'll think Mrs. Exactly. Robinson was like Jackie Robinson's mom or something.
Exactly. Yeah, David Robinson.
You're 100% right. That's exactly what he'll think.
No doubt about it, Mark. A couple things there. Number one, Evan, this is what the caller was alluding to. Evan admitted on Friday that he has never seen my cousin Vinny, which is not that surprising because I've known the guy forever, and he hadn't seen, as of a couple of years ago, hadn't seen The Godfather, which we forced him to watch, The Usual Suspects, which we forced him to watch, Scarface. Like, I'm just naming movies I know he hasn't seen, like, right. Scarface, Donnie Brasco, no shot. He admitted on Friday he had never seen my cousin Vinny, which...
The defense is wrong.
Yeah, two youths.
The defense is wrong.
Marissa Tomei. Yeah, two youths. Are you on drugs? Marissa Tomei, who's just, tremendous, won an Oscar for the movie Pesci. That's peak Pesci, that movie. There's just certain films or TV shows, when you do a radio show in this market, like, you know what I mean? We're not doing a national show where you're talking to people in Paducah and you're talking to people in L.A. And we're doing a show for people in New York, obviously out in Long Island, Jersey, Connecticut. My cousin Vinny is like a standard, a staple around here. Like, how the heck have you not seen this movie? Now, speaking of The Graduate, obviously with Dustin Hoffman and the late, great Anne Bancroft. Interesting story about Anne Bancroft. She is actually my grandma's cousin.
Get the hell out of here.
Anne Bancroft.
Did you ever meet her?
I did not. She was, now my mom's going to kill me because I forgot her real name, but she was at my grandparents' wedding. This is before she was Anne Bancroft. No, was that actually her real name?
Anna Maria Luisa Italiano?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes more sense. I know Anne Bancroft was more of a stage name.
Yeah, she Anna Maria Luisa Italiano.
Right. She obviously married Mel Brooks. And this was, I believe, before that she married. But she was just there as that. I don't think The Graduate had come out yet. I got to do a little more of my homework on this one. But Anne Bancroft, the actress, who was most famously in The Graduate, but she did a million things, right. Like in movies,
she
I think
was
on Broadway.
Too, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Anne Bancroft, my grandmother's cousin, was at my grandparents' wedding. That is I'm not making that up. That is a fact. I actually believe my mom might have pictures from the wedding of Anne Bancroft being there. I'll get a little more information from my mom tonight. She'll text, it's my birthday.
I'm just looking at Anne Bancroft's filmology.
Yep.
Filmography.
Right.
G.I. Jane recently. G.I. Jane, Heartbreakers, Ants. Remember Ants, the cartoon?
Yes.
A-N-T-Z. She was in that. She was the voice of the Queen Ant.
I think the last thing she did before she passed away was Curb. She was on an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I think this was like right before she had
2004
passed away.
as herself.
And she died in 2005. Yeah, she was born in 31 in the Bronx. Anne Bancroft, no cap, as the kids would say, no joke, is my grandma's cousin. I don't know if it's like a first or second or third. And she attended my grandparents' wedding, which, like Italian family. Evan is just... I think BT said it today. It was hilarious. He goes, I stopped trying to connect the dots with Evan. And it's true. Evan is just a, and I was talking to upper management today, and they're like, I can't believe Evan knows so much about All in the Family. Because All in the Family, you feel like if you like All in the Family, maybe you would branch out. Like, somehow Evan loves All in the Family, and he went from All in the Family to 90210. Like, yeah. That doesn't
like
feel like that.
Like, nothing else in between.
Right!
And there was a lot in between.
There's just 90210 and How I Met Your Mother, which is another one of his favorite shows, have nothing to do with All in the Family. So I'm not saying you shouldn't like the show. It's a great show. But how does that mix in with all his other things? Like,
I have more confidence in Zach Wilson than I do Justin Herbert.
Right. So to that caller's point, no shot he's seen The Graduate. But he has seen My Cousin Vinny. I think he was at like a Denny's and he watched it on his way down to South Carolina.
3:20 in the morning, he tweeted it out that he thought it was a very funny movie.
He did like it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's right. What he tweeted. I'm going based off that.
Yeah. Well, he would have gotten a lot of crap for it if he said it was bad. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Ralph in Waterbury, Connecticut. Ralph, what do you got on Jackson Dart and the Giants?
Hey, Tom. How you doing? Happy birthday to you. Tiki, it's an honor to be talking with you. I'm a big Giants fan.
Thank you, man.
Been on the defensive side of the ball. LT was my mentor. Until I saw you play, and I love the way you run, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
that. As far as, it's good stuff, dude. You know what I mean? Go blue. But as far as, I think Jackson's going to be in the third game, like Tommy was saying. Unfortunately, I think that he should take the season. Our head coach is a quarterback whisperer, from what I hear. So why not let him spend the time with him and let him develop and let him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening right now, is that... As it was described to me, Dabes is in Jackson Dart's pocket, just right there with him the whole time. Coaching, instructing, giving him tips, pointers. I don't know, probably not really excoriating him, but at least like correcting him when things are right or wrong. So he wants to get him right. And the good thing about the early returns is that it looks like it's working.
Yeah, it's his meal ticket. Dart's his meal 100%. Ticket. 100%. If Dart doesn't work out, Dable's gone. That's his guy. Like, he's sort of, you know, hits his way.
Not even a question.
By the way, a underrated Anne Bancroft movie, Fatso, with Dom DeLuise. If you've never seen it, it's kind of like a cult classic.
I did not see this one.
You ate the Oni? You ate the Oni? It's very, very, very funny. It came out in, like, the 80s. I saw it as, like, 1980 it came out. This is a underrated, more of like, you know, you think of Anne Bancroft stuff she's done, you don't think of necessarily Fatso, but it's and I think that it was like took place in like Queens, Yonkers, I want to say.
So and one thing about Fatso, the first and only movie directed by Anne Bancroft.
She directed it too, right, exactly.
Her only such credit, starring Dom DeLuise, Ron Carey, and Candice Azzara.
Yes, it's very funny. You could probably find it on some type of streaming service. Now, speaking of food, we'll tie this in. My birthday today, yeah, blah, 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 blah. My wife and I, we're going to just do a little more. She asked, we went to dinner Friday night. We did the tomahawk steak, you know, medium rare, I'm an aristocrat. Tonight, she asked me what I wanted for dinner. She's just making it. This is what I went with. Because I felt like we did the big steak, I did the boys trip. I went burger with bacon on it and an egg. That's what I went with. That's my meal for my birthday tonight.
Are you bringing the donuts back, though, with your face?
My guess is that she got it dessert. Like, she likes to, like,
you know. Do you think she's going to want to see you on a donut?
Yeah, I think that more for her just to get a chuckle, but I imagine that dessert will be provided. But I hear you. I will bring one dessert home with her with the donut.
One donut?
The face on it. Yeah, she'll appreciate that.
Just take a picture. It'll be good enough.
That's a good point. Tiki always is the voice of reason. The reason I brought this up is that, I don't know if you heard, Teak, but Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they have a new steakhouse in Kansas City. It's called 1587 Prime. And it will be the first, this steakhouse will be the first multi-sensory dining experience.
I don't know what that means. I'm assuming you're going to smell stuff, which you obviously do anytime you go to a restaurant. You're going to see stuff, which you obviously do anytime you're going to go to a restaurant.
Right.
You obviously hear, if the kitchen is open, them cooking, just like anytime you go to a restaurant, and you're going to taste stuff just like you do in anytime you go to a restaurant. So what extra sense are we talking about here? Right. I'm being cynical for a reason.
No,
because
of course.
This sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, because like you said, like any dining experience is multi-sensory. You're going to taste, you're going to smell, you're going to hear, you're going to do all this stuff.
Smell.
And when you go to a steakhouse, you know this, like, it is, a three-hour extravaganza. You're not just in and out by design. It's for occasions. Right. It's for your first date, 40th birthday. The steakhouse is a big experience with multiple senses. So I'm wondering, like, what's going to separate 1587 Prime from any steakhouse?
Right. So a few more things into that. The Instagram accounts say, be among the first to experience Kansas City's newest steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it says multi-sensory dining aspects, although the account didn't exactly explain what that would entail. The post reached out for comment. Haven't heard anything back yet. So I don't know if they're trying to figure out exactly what to say.
So they threw a word out there and they really didn't know the meaning of it. And then once it's opened, they'll kind of figure out what it means.
Are my eyes going to be tasting a filet mignon? Is that what's going on here?
I don't know. Like I said, and like Tiki said, your senses are already on overload. If you go to Luger's or wherever, any steakhouse you want to go to.
Was this an existing steakhouse that is rebranding? Because if maybe they did a build out, and so there's, I don't know, like large screen footballs all over. I don't know.
I know is that it's located in the Lowe's Kansas City Hotel, and it is, quote unquote, a swanky eatery.
Huh. Mm. All I know is I looked up 1587 Prime on Instagram, and then it said suggested for you, Ava Hunt. And I'm happy that I did this right now. I mean, I'm just, this is as good as it gets, yes. So, I mean, the family dynasty, obviously, with the Hunts there. And then we're getting the break sign. That's a good time to go.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.